Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is good to be here tonight. And we are so privileged to be able to gather here. I am so thankful that we can come here on Wednesday nights and, of course, Sundays too. But it's wonderful to be here, to be in the presence of the Lord. Before we do anything here tonight, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee once again for thy goodness that has brought us here. And I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would be here with us tonight. I pray, O God, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us as we sing unto thee, as we worship thee, as we give thee praise. And I pray, O God, that thou wouldst inspire us to truly give thee our hearts here tonight. I pray, O God, that we would truly worship thee with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our heart, O God. I pray that thou would work in us here tonight. I pray that thou would continue to change us, continue to perfect us, O God. For we need thee so very much in these days of so much uncertainty. But we know, O God, that in thee we find certainty, for thou art the God that never changes. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead, to guide, and direct us in all things. Be with us here tonight, we pray, and we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we're going to start with number 64 tonight. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Number 64. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Amen. That name of the Lord.
Amen.
There is no greater name. There is no sweeter name. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. So let's go to number 122 and sing that chorus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Number 122. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. That's the reason why I love Him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. Just something about that name, isn't there? Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 22 and sing Jesus, Jesus. That's just something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Thank you. power in that name.
Yes, amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, the name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. Let's go to number 90 and sing that chorus. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. Number 90. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a word I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the we know that name, we know that mighty name. And you know, our Savior is not just our Savior, but He's also our friend, and He's not a stranger to us. Praise the Lord. We have this wonderful opportunity to be in His presence, to get to know Him better all the time, and that's a wonderful thing. But He is our Lord, and He is our God. He's not just a stranger. Let's go to number 130 and sing, He's My Lord and My God, number 130. He's my Lord and my God. Just a stranger to me. When I looked past the veil, it was easy to see. He's my Lord and my God. He's my Lord and my God. Face to face in glory. And that's going to be the most amazing thing we've ever experienced. Oh, what a day that will be. Let's sing number 131. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. Well, I think we're going to take up the collection now. Praise God. Father in heaven, I thank thee this night for these many blessings, O God, that thou hast given us. I thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. I thank thee for thy mercy and thy grace, which has kept us, O God. I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to direct our paths, continue to show us what we must do. Lead us in all things, I pray. Give us great wisdom on how these funds should be used, O God, for thy glory. For we know that these funds belong to thee. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here tonight and also bless those who are unable to give. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a chorus that was on my mind today, and it's number 141. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. We'll go ahead and sing that. Praise the Lord. Number 141. We would be so lost without him. Praise God. Well, we are going to turn it over to Shirley now and see what the Lord has laid on her heart tonight. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, so glad that we could gather here together tonight. Yeah, it's a wonderful privilege, really, to have these times. Sometimes I just don't know just how appreciated they are, really. You know, we're so few here in number, but, you know, I know there's some good wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord online, and you know, I know they would love to be here in person, but here we are. We're still in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and thank God. It's you know, it doesn't matter how many we are. You know, God's not concerned with big numbers, but it's where the heart is drawn to the Lord, where the heart is right with God, and where there's true desire and true worship, that worship in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. The Lord does seek those that would worship him in that way. That's what he's looking for in this world. I don't know how many there are, you know. To us it doesn't seem like there's many, but God has a people. Amen. He has reserved to himself a people that I know. And I just think it's wonderful that we could be here tonight. We could worship him. We could praise him. We could get closer to him. And we just don't know. You know, it could be our last time together for all we know. I mean, we really don't know. He's going to break through those skies one of these days, you know. And there's other things pending on this earth that could really, change everything that we've known. But the Lord is with us. And one thing we want to keep deep inside is that faith that he's given us, that faith that we've got to hang on to regardless of what's going on in this world, regardless of what anybody else thinks or what other persuasions there might be or whatever they might demand of us. We can only do those things that are right and acceptable in the sight of the Lord, and that need to give him our hearts to be ready, to be right, because, you know, it may come to that point where, you know, there's going to be a line drawn. And, you know, we're either going to stand up for God or we're going to maybe be killed. Who knows? But God has given us something deep, something to live for, something to die for. And praise the Lord. For sure we want to keep that faith that he's given to us, those things that he's committed, that we've committed unto him against that day. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray. We just thank you, Heavenly Father. We just thank you, Lord, that you're here in this place, Lord, that your presence is here, God. You said if we draw nigh unto you, you will draw nigh unto us. You said where two or three are gathered together in your name, that there thou art in our midst. And here we are tonight, Lord Jesus. And oh God, we thank you that we can reach out to you, that we can claim your promises, God, that we can know you, Lord. We can answer that call, Lord, that call, Lord, to repent, oh God, and to be right with you, Lord, to draw nigh to you, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that you work here tonight. Pray that you work in hearts, oh Lord, oh God, all those that might eventually hear this message. I pray that you call them unto salvation. I pray that you move, oh Lord, and change us, Lord. Make us what we ought to be in you, Lord Jesus. Give us faith to believe you, Lord, oh God, against all odds, against everything else that might aim at us, oh Lord, every fiery dart, oh Lord. Oh God, I pray that you give us that faith that we need, Lord. Oh God, to be more than conquerors through Christ that loved us, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you talk to us, Lord. You know the needs of your people, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you meet our needs here tonight, Lord, oh God. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you would move the mountains that need to go. In the name of Jesus, that you give us faith, greater faith than we've ever had, Lord, to believe you, Lord Jesus. Give us faith, Lord, to stand, oh Lord, these tests, oh Lord, this test of time. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, that you draw us nigh to yourself. And oh Lord, you know all the puzzles in our lives. Oh God, you know all the things that perplex us and confuse us, and things that we don't know, but God, thou art greater than all of that, Lord. You have the answers, Lord Jesus. You are the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. I pray that you'd work here tonight. I pray that you'd change us, that you'd move in us, that you'd, oh God, complete us, Lord. Oh Lord, that we might have that place in you, Lord, where we're perfected in you, Lord, that we're filled with the Holy Ghost. And oh Lord, our lamps are trimmed and burning. We thank you, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you work faith in us, Lord, again to a greater capacity than ever before, Lord. We might know you, God, in greater fullness, with greater anointing, with greater blessings, Lord. With, oh Lord, that faith that doesn't faint, oh Lord. And give up, oh Lord, when the trials come upon us, Lord Jesus, and things get hard. I pray that you give us that faith, those roots that are deep, oh Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, you know the needs of every individual, Lord, listening online or here in this place. God, I pray that you meet those needs and draw us to thyself in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. I know I talked about faith a couple weeks ago and didn't really feel like I was quite finished with that. And tonight we're going to be talking about faith again. And I'm going to call this message The cry of faith. The cry of faith. We're going to begin by going to a familiar scripture, Luke 18 chapter, and then some other places, and just some beautiful little basic things of God's word here tonight, but I pray that we can apply them to our hearts and let faith work in us. I think there's something about faith that is so needed. It's so tried in this time that we live in. And of course, when we go to this 18th chapter, Jesus himself put it to the question. So let's read here. It says in verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I will tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth?" Faith on the earth. And I know one thing, our God hasn't changed. He's the same God that walked the shores of Galilee, that did all those miracles and delivered all those that were oppressed and filled with demons. It was nothing for our God. And yet here we are tonight, and we have his promises here, even as he was telling this parable. He was emphasizing the need to always pray, to never give up, to never faint, to always pray. And of course, this story about this persistent widow who must have wearied that judge to death. I mean, you hear it lots of times. People don't like to be bugged again and again and again. It can be rather annoying. But sometimes it's very necessary. If you have something, you're really desperate and you need it, and you know where the answer is, but it seems impossible and just no give, but yet if you just keep on, that there's going to be an answer and it's going to come through. And so this story was told, this parable, and this woman who wearied that unjust judge, he didn't fear God and he didn't fear men. But yet because she came again and again and again and again, he gave in to her request and granted it. And Jesus said that likewise, God would avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, And sometimes it is, we have these persistent needs that don't go away so easily. But how gracious it is of our Lord who bids us to continue to come. He doesn't say, give up, go away, I've heard enough. But he encouraged us to come, and he told us that he would avenge his people speedily. But then as he ends this story, he asks the question, this question, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? And I think that's where we are in time right now. Our faith has been, it's been troubled, It just seems like we must not have faith quite like the early church, because I don't see all the signs and wonders that follow the early church following us. There must be something. God hasn't changed. But is it our faith? What is it? What is it that's missing? We're going to look at examples here from the scripture. We're going to go now to Mark, the 10th chapter. Just a beautiful little story here. Mark 10 go to verse 46. And here's this story that Jesus also, this was a real happenstance here. They'd come to Jericho and went out of Jericho, Jesus and his disciples, and it tells us a great number of people. There was a blind man, and this epistle of Mark, he's identified as Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And if we could just see him, he was sitting by the wayside, it tells us here, and he was begging. He was doing what he always did. He was blind. He couldn't see. He had no way of making a living but to beg. And I suppose his friends, his family, or somebody brought him day by day there by the highway where he sat and begged. But then there was a day. Oh, yes. He heard some commotion. There was something going on. You could tell that there was a crowd coming out, and he must have inquired to find out what was going on. And it tells us in verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Oh, he began to cry out. There was something that worked in his heart. It was faith. And he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He'd say it again, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And I think it's amazing. Somehow he had understanding. I don't know if he'd ever been there among the crowd before, among the disciples, among Jesus before, but somehow he had understanding. He knew that Jesus was the son of David. And he cried out. He knew that Jesus had compassion, that Jesus had mercy. And he began to cry out. Oh, he cried out. And obviously, he was annoying because many charged him that he would hold his peace. Oh, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. But the scripture tells us he cried all the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He cried all the more. And there was that moment. Oh, yes, Jesus had heard him. And it had caught Jesus' attention. And it tells us in verse 49 that Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. And he commanded that they would bring this blind man to him. So they called for him. Said, be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth for thee. Obviously, oh, this was the desire of his heart. This was the desire of his heart. It says, and he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, said unto him, what will that the eye should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Simple words, Jesus answered. He said, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And it tells us immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Oh, praise the Lord. Just simple, simple faith. But he had something, you know. He had tenacity. He had desire. Oh, he wasn't going to give up. And no matter how annoying it seemed to everybody else, he was going to continue to cry out until that cry was heard. And praise the Lord, it caught the ear of Jesus Christ. It caught his attention. And yes, he received the answer. He received the thing that he so desired, the thing that was urgent in his heart. And his faith was rewarded. That faith made him whole, it tells us. And immediately, just like that, those eyes were opened, and he followed Jesus in the way. Oh, praise the Lord. What a beautiful story. That man who cried out. Amen. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, we have another example. Again, a very desperate situation. But a woman in this case who had faith. And here it was, if we look at Matthew, the 15th chapter, and Look at verse 21. It tells us that Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Well, that wasn't even within, you know, Galilee or Judea. He's the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And I just wonder if he went there just because of this woman. I just wonder. It tells us in verse 22 that there, behold, a woman of Canaan. She wasn't a Jew. She came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And again, I just marvel at this. She's not a Jew by any means, but yet she has that sense. And she seems to understand who he is. "Oh Lord, thou son of David." She seems to recognize it. She's asking for mercy. Oh, this time it isn't for herself, but it's for her daughter who's grievously vexed with the devil. And it's such a story because tells us in verse 23 that Jesus answered her not a word. He ignored this woman. He ignored her. And it says his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But she's just like that blind Bartimaeus who didn't give up. And I think this shows us what faith is. She didn't give up. She had been ignored by Jesus Christ. And, you know, yet she keeps on crying after him. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Have mercy on me." And some are saying, "Send her away. Get her out of here. She's bugging us. It's so annoying. She cries and she cries and she cries." And Jesus had ignored her. And then in verse 24, he did answer. And this time, he rejected her. He said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But again, I just love the faith this woman had. Now she's been rejected. But she doesn't give up. She doesn't give up. It says, "Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me." And then he insults her. He answered and said, "It is not meet or proper to give the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." He calls her a dog. And often that was a term that was designated to Gentile people, just calling them dogs. But you know, so often when people are ignored or rejected or insulted, they give up. You know, they just, you know, especially, you know, if somebody insults you, I don't want anything to do with them, you know. It just, you know, something it does, you know, to your dignity. But she wasn't like that, you know. Instead, she answers in verse 27. She says, "Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Oh, that wonderful faith, this persistent woman, you know. "I don't care, call me a dog, but the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And just believing that there was going to be something for her, and that God was a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And praise the Lord, there was an answer. Oh, there was an answer. Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Oh, praise the Lord. I love that story. Oh, it's just a woman who just was so persistent that, you know, nothing offended her. Oh, yes, I remember the story of Naaman the leper there in 2 Kings, and of course, in the days of Elisha. And you know, we know the story. He was a Syrian, and he was a captain over the host, and, you know, an important man, a great man, but alas, he was a leper. And, you know, it was told to him, actually, one of the captives, it was a young maid who was actually a servant girl to his wife. And, you know, she said, You know, I wish Naaman could see the prophet in Israel. He would cleanse him of his leprosy. And of course, that was a witness. And the wife reported it. And the news got to Naaman. And, you know, he thought, yeah, I'm going to try that. I'm going to go there, you know. And of course, he went to the king first. And the king, oh, get out of here. I don't know how to heal you. Get out of here. What are you doing? Threatening me or what, you know? But Elisha heard of it. And Elisha knew, oh, there was a God in Israel, and this was an opportunity to see God work. And, you know, he was told him, there's a prophet. You go see Elisha, and he'll help you. And so he did, you know. He came to the house where Elisha was and knocked on the door, whatever was common at that point. And, you know, he thought Elisha would come out and just say, be well. Be healed, you know, let the leprosy go, or whatever, you know. And Elisha didn't do that. He knew that there was something else that was required here, and, you know, he had them tell Naaman that you go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be cleansed of your leprosy. And you know, it's quite something, you know, a test in reality. But Naaman was so offended. It tells us in 2 Kings that he was wroth. He was really angry, you know. He wasn't expecting that kind of, you know, answer. You know, after all, he was a man of importance. He didn't expect that. He was offended. But he was told that, you know, if, you know, you're asked to do some hard thing, won't you do it? His servants encouraged him. And even though it was a muddy old Jordan River, and the rivers in Syria were far superior to that, he went and did it. He went and did it. He let go of that pride. He went and did it. Praise the Lord. Oh, when we let go of the things so that hinder us, oh man, sometimes we don't realize all the buggers, you know, all the things we're hanging on to, maybe with a vengeance that we don't want to let go. Maybe sin. Maybe opposition to the will of God. Maybe offended about being baptized in the name of Jesus. Something that offends. But when people will let go and just give it over to the Lord and let the Lord work it out, you know, not trying so hard to make one's own way and work out the remedies and do it, you know, like you think it should be done, and not getting offended because, you know, it doesn't happen like you think it should. Oh, when Naaman let go and obeyed the word of the Lord, he was cleansed. Oh, yes, that skin was cleansed, and yes, he dipped 7 times in that muddy old Jordan River, and it was as the servant of the Lord had said, his skin was cleansed. He was cleansed from that leprosy. God had made a way for him. But praise the Lord, I thank God that this woman here, this Canaanite woman, was not offended. I just love that story. Oh, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And, you know, Jesus complimented her. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her request was met. Her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What a wonderful thing. Oh, have the Lord tell us that our faith is great. But see, there was a persistency there too. She, you know, she didn't let rejection hinder her. The fact that she was ignored, she didn't let it hinder her. She didn't let insults hinder her. But that faith continued in her heart. She didn't give up. And God rewarded it. Oh, I think there's a lesson for us here. I think, you know, he's telling us, just as that parable he told us there in the 18th chapter of Luke, That persistent widow who went before the unjust judge again and again and again until he heard her. The Lord is teaching us how to have faith, how to trust him, and how to believe. In Mark, the 9th chapter, we have another story I'd like to go through right now. In these days, I'm certain that there are many people that are possessed with evil spirits, just as there was in the times of Jesus. These days, it seems like they try to cover up and put some name on it, you know, schizophrenic or something, and you know, try to cover it up, and then give drugs to compound the problem. But they all knew back in the time of Jesus, there was a dumb, evil spirit. So it seems to me. But if we look at verse 17 here in Mark, the 9th chapter, there was one in the crowd there. There was one of the multitude that came to Jesus and crying out, seeking him, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." And this was just a very desperate situation. It tells us in verse 18, "And wheresoever he taketh him, this evil spirit and his son, he teareth him, he foameth, he gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away with his teeth and pineth away. And in this case, I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." And I think Jesus pretty much groaned within himself at that moment. He said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And so they brought this son unto Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, that spirit, that evil spirit, manifested immediately. So straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. Oh, it must have been an awful sight to see this ugly spirit in this child. And it tells us he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child." We don't know how old the son is at the moment, but it's been some time, it seems. And it says in verse 22, "And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him." But here is this desperate cry, this cry of faith that comes from this man. "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Oh, the disciples hadn't been able to deliver this case. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Oh, just simply, if thou canst believe, if you could just believe, you know, that faith of a little child that we need to be converted, the simplicity of it, just believing God because he said it, he's going to do it. Remember Brother Lance, and I've mentioned this before, one of the last conversations I had with him. It seems that he talked about how when he was a missionary in the Philippines, and he established a lot of churches over there. He saw a lot of people filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. But he said, and he prayed for those people, he told them what the Word of God said, they believed it. Oh yes, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They came up out of the water speaking in other tongues. Amen. They laid hands on them, and that disease, that illness was cast out in the name of Jesus. They had that simple faith to take Jesus at his words. As Jesus said here in verse 23, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." You know, there's nothing too hard for our God. What might seem like a mountain might, you know, it doesn't make it any harder for God to remove it. And straightway now the man is getting very desperate. The father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe. Oh, this time you could see it, you know. He's cried out. He had tears in his eyes. He was so desperate. Oh, it'd been such a horrible situation. What a thing to live through day after day, day after day. A continual worry and bothersome and, oh, just seeing this all the time. But here he is. He came to Jesus. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And Jesus saw that the people came running together. He rebuked that foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more unto him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, that is, the child, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But he wasn't. Oh no, he wasn't dead. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You know, we have some keys here in this chapter here, in this portion of scripture here. You know, we see the desperateness of the situation. And, you know, it's, oh, if you've ever seen anything like that at all, you know how ugly it is, and how hard to bear. And, you know, a child that would try to cast himself into the fire, and it would, because that unclean spirit was throwing him into the waters to drown him. Oh, but Lord, if thou canst do anything, please, please, Lord, have compassion on us and help us. Oh, I'm so glad Jesus is a God of compassion. You know, his compassion, his love is beyond what we can comprehend. And, you know, he doesn't want us to be sick. He doesn't want us to be ill. He wants us to be delivered and set free. And you see how he did it here. If you look at verse 25, he rebuked that foul, that unclean, that ungodly, filthy spirit. And we can do that too. We can rebuke in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and take authority over those devils that try to run over us. And he said, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, he called it out, I charge thee, come out of him. And then he said, Enter no more into him. Praise the Lord. That spirit cried. It did exactly what to do it, but there was no other way. It was going to come out because Jesus had commanded it to come out. And oh, he made a big show of it. Obviously, he rent him sore, the child, but he came out of him. And he looked, you know, there he was. It was a bit of an effort, it seems, but he looked like he was dead, the child. But Jesus, he wasn't dead, no. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. He is fine and all better than ever, because that filthy, unclean devil was out of him. Oh, that's the ability of our God. Oh, he doesn't want his children bound and hindered by devils and unclean spirits. Oh, doesn't want us, oh Lord, tormented. And there's a lot of people that need deliverance in many ways. Sometimes it's a spirit of fear that hinders people, and they can't sleep, and they wrestle, and they fear all the time, and they're in torment. God doesn't want us to live like that. No, he wants us to have peace. Peace in this world, oh yeah, in spite of the trouble, tribulation that we have, but yet God has given us peace and rest from all those filthy entities that would try to hinder us and cast us down. Oh yes, oh, sometimes people are hindered from receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, all kinds of thoughts and hindrances and maybe doctrines and, oh God, past remembrances and everything else, all the things that come into people's minds to try to hinder. But our God is beyond that. Oh, yes. Our God is mighty. Oh, yes. We pray with a very dear friend last Saturday. And praise the Lord. Prayer of faith did it again. Yes. Thank God she was delivered mightily. And oh, my rejoicing. Just thanking God for what he had done. Praise the Lord Jesus. But it does tell us there's prayer and fasting that's needed to help us, help our faith, help us to get to that place where we can believe, so we can know that all things are possible to him that believeth. Praise the Lord. We turn a few pages back to the 6th chapter of Mark. I'd like to go there for a minute. In the 6th chapter of Mark, we see that some mighty miracles had happened. We know that in that chapter there was the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children. There, just, you know, 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. That's all they had, but that was no obstacle for the Lord. Not at all, you know. He just looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. And oh man, there was so much that there were 12 baskets full of fragments after they had eaten both the bread and all the fishes, it seems. And it says those that did eat were, they were about 5,000 men. But after that event, Jesus had told his disciples to get into a ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida. He sent away the people, but he himself, Jesus, departed to a mountain to pray. And I'll tell you what, if Jesus, the Son of God, had to go pray, I think we need those times of prayer. Oh, yes, we need those times of prayer. I'll tell you what, there was a very vexing situation just yesterday. And I'll tell you what, the Lord was there very much. But I'll tell you what, all I could do is I was going to go down on my knees and pray in tongues. Ask the Lord to intervene. And praise the Lord. It got a lot better there. It got a lot better after that prayer. Don's dear mother, Mary, and I don't know if she's going to live or go on to be with the Lord, but she was having a terrible struggle yesterday and a few days before, and all I knew is if she's going to leave this world, I want her to die in peace. And praise the Lord, I was, Don was entreating, and I just, all I knew is if I just go pray, if I just go talk to the Lord, he's going to change this. And praise the Lord, yes, Mary had quieted down, and that vexation and whatever, all, she was calmed. Praise the Lord, and she's even able to consume a wee bit of soup with a straw, and I don't know how she's doing today. It could be she's 95 years old, and God has done so much for her. I can already tell, oh man, there's been some wonderful stories of this woman's life, but whatever the Lord will do, but I just thank God that he calmed her spirits. It's a wonderful thing. But praise the Lord, we can find our God, and we need those times. You think you don't have to pray? Oh my, then I'll tell you what, you're not going to have any strength. You're not going to have power. You're not going to be able to go forward and to do the works of the Lord. If Jesus had to go into a mountain to pray, I'll tell you what, we have to do likewise. And I'll tell you what, there are times I know I've just got to give it to the Lord. And, I so thank God that we can pray in tongues. We've got the gift of the Holy Ghost. We can pray in tongues and let the Lord pray through us. Because we don't know how to pray. But the Lord knows how to intercede through us and uses that tongue to make a difference and to change the things that are wrong. Oh, yes, to bring peace to the storms in our lives. So So Jesus departed to a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And oh my, it was one of those nights. The disciples were there in the boat, and they were toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And it was about the fourth watch of the night, so it was near morning at this point. And he cometh, Jesus cometh unto them walking upon the sea, would have passed by them. And they, you know, they saw him walking upon the sea. Some kind of apparition, some kind of spirit. They cried out, they were afraid. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Oh, I love how the Lord comforts us. Oh, yes, when things are, you know, full of turmoil and unrestful, and you know, there's needs that are beyond us, and oh, sometimes maybe just worn out. But the Lord knows how to bring peace. Oh, yes, how to calm the storm, and how to comfort us, and how to guide us, how to save us. And praise the Lord, he said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. They were so amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, so their heart was hard, and they kind of forgotten about that, and forgot, you know, all the possibilities with the Lord Jesus. It says, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. Gennesaret was just a small region of Galilee, west of the Sea of Galilee. So here they were, they came to the shore, and when they came out of the ship, straightway they knew him. I guess their eyes were really blinded at that moment. But what happened when the region that they were in, the land of Gennesaret, when they realized that Jesus was there? This is what they did. They ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. Oh, there's faith in action. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. We can bring the sick. We can bring those that are possessed. We can bring the needy to the Lord. And it says, whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And I love it. Faith in action. Oh, and faith is contagious. You get to see the Lord doing great and wonderful things. There's something about it. You know, if he did it for him or her, he could do it for me. That faith drew many. Oh, if they could just touch but the border of his garment, the hem of his garment. Says, as many as touched him were made whole. Oh, praise the Lord. Faith in action. Oh, that's where God wants us to be, that place where, oh, we have faith, and, you know, we're not afraid, you know, we're not offended, you know, we're not hindered. We just want to, you know, we don't mind crying out to the Lord because he's going to hear us. And it might take a little effort because, after all, the Lord's looking for something on our part, too. You know, we just whisper and, you know, just kind of hope. You know, I'm not so sure he's going to do anything for us, because he's looking for faith. He's looking for action. He's looking for expressions of faith. But here, there were people, oh, yes, they, oh, Jesus is here. And they began to carry the sick, those that were in beds, out into the streets so that Jesus could pass by and they could be healed. Oh, and yes, those that could walk. Oh, if I could just touch his garment. They knew that they would be made whole. Oh, faith is contagious. Oh, yes, and we could just have that faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Oh, that tiny little seed that's within the mustard plant. If we could just have a little bit of faith to believe God and let it go. Release it. Let it go. Because God hears. God cares. God loves us. God answers. We can just have faith and believe God. He will do it. Oh, praise the Lord. He will do it. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to Acts, the 19th chapter. It just seems like, oh yes, those same actions that Jesus began were acted upon by the actions of the apostles. Oh, praise the Lord, those acts of faith that came forth in the book of Acts. And here we know it's Paul, in the 19th chapter, book of Acts. He's passing through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. He found certain disciples there. And he sees them. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You know, the disciples. But have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You know, some people think, you know, I believe, so I've got the Holy Ghost. But I think there's a little bit more to it here. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Yes, you better believe first or you're not going to receive the Holy Ghost. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And they were asked, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul in verse 4, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, these people didn't argue, they didn't delay, they heard the good news, and it says when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I love that. They all took instant action to obey the word of the Lord, and they went down in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then, it says, when Paul had laid his hands upon them, obviously they had repented, it says the Holy Ghost came on them. Oh, and they could tell, because they spake with tongues and prophesied. Oh, yes, it's evident when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. Oh, yes. Oh, our tongue, that unruly member, breaks forth in a new tongue, and we begin to magnify the Lord in another tongue, another language. And so they spake with tongues and prophesied as the Holy Ghost came on them. Since all the men were about 12. And it tells us that after this, Paul went into the synagogue there in Ephesus, and he spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And, you know, after a while, it just seemed like this was the case everywhere he went. He'd go to the synagogue first. You know, these were, you know, his own people, his Jewish people were. And he put every effort into it to try to convince them that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was the Messiah, the things concerning the kingdom of God. But they didn't hear him. It says, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil that way before the multitude, he departed from them, separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And I think this is interesting. See, one door closed there. He no longer could go into the synagogue. But another door opened. It was a school of one Tyrannus. And he was able to speak there every day. And how the Lord used it. It says, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Oh, what a marvelous thing. Oh, yes, you know, sometimes God does allow persecution to break out. And he told his disciples, they persecute you in one city to flee to the next. And here it is. One avenue was closed. He was not going to be able to speak in that synagogue any longer, but another door opened, and how glorious it was. For 2 years, he was able to speak in that school and dispute or talk, admonish those that would come to him. And the amazing thing is, so that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Oh, how the Lord used that open door. But it tells us in verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. And here is something similar to what we just read there in the land of Gennesaret under the ministry of Jesus Christ. It says, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. That's an amazing thing. They must have brought even handkerchiefs or aprons if a person wasn't able to come to where Paul was. He anointed a cloth and prayed over it in the name of Jesus Christ. That prayer of faith prevailed. And it says the diseases departed from them and evil spirits were cast out. God was working beautiful, wonderful ways, special miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, there were some vagabond Jews, it tells us in verse 13, exorcists, and they thought they were going to try it. And you know, I think this is so true. We sang about the name of the Lord, and you know, it belongs to God's people. That precious saving name, that we can utter it any time and know that the Lord will hear it and that there's power and authority in that name. But these vagabond Jews thought that they could use that saving name of Jesus. And so they took it upon themselves to say to those that had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And I suppose come out of them. And it tells us there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. This is what they were trying to do, but it didn't work. Oh yes, they didn't have the authority that was needed. They hadn't been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. They had not repented, and that name did not belong to them. And I'll tell you what, there was no protection. That blood of Jesus Christ, it covers us. When we embrace it through repentance and baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blood of Jesus Christ prevails in our lives. And it protects us, it covers us. But these men were not protected, they were not covered. It tells us in verse 16, the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. But the Lord used this too. Oh, the Lord used it. It says in verse 17, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Oh, praise the Lord, we can sing all about that saving name. Yes, there is something about that name. Oh, yes, if we've been cleansed by our Lord, if that blood's applied to our lives, then, oh, yes, we have that privilege. Casting out devils in the name of Jesus. Yes, by anointing with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh God, thank the Lord. We can pray in the name of the Lord Jesus and know that that name belongs to us. Oh yes, when the church used that name was magnified. Oh, that saving name. And it tells us, verse 18, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Oh, God was working in such a way. Oh, what had happened, those seven sons of Sceva. Oh, it didn't deter the work of God by any means. But it caused it to increase because fear fell upon the people. And they realized, hey, we can't play with this name. This is a sacred, holy name. You know, we can't pretend it's ours if it's not. They began to realize, oh, the importance of that name. It was magnified. The Lord used it mightily. And the people began to come. Oh, yes, faith began to build in the hearts. And they came. It says, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. There was repentance. Oh, they wanted to get rid of all those things that hindered them. And yes, repentance is often, it's not only a turning over of our lives, but a lot of times there's things, that we need to get rid of, things that hinder us and seek to destroy us, things that have filthy names attached to them. And consequences, those playing cards or those evil movies, those books, and things that, you know, people want to just sometimes cling onto, maybe some of those knickknacks that people sometimes love might have attachments to them, evil spirits. But God was working in many ways. It says many of them also which use curious arts. In other words, they were into witchcraft. Brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Oh, that was a lot. You know, sometimes people, you know, they get to that place where, you know, they need to get rid of things and, they think, you know, I could sell it, you know, for such and such money, you know, that wicked, you know, record album there, you know, I just... It's going to go to somebody else. You don't break it and toss it, you know, and get rid of it. No, there's no money worth that. But they did the right thing here. Oh, the Lord was working in their midst, and they could see these things that they had collected, valuable things, 50,000 pieces of silver. Sounds like a lot of money to me. But they brought it because God was working in them, and they wanted to get rid of the things that were hindering them, the things that were bringing them down, the things that were disgusting, the things that were demonic, that had attachments that they didn't want any longer, because now they could see, now they could understand. Oh, they just wanted to get rid of it. And God used it. It says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Well, I'll tell you what, when there's genuine repentance, when there's a genuine turning around, God begins to work, God begins to change. People will fall to their knees and begin to pray and seek His face, turn from their evil ways, and cry out to the Lord. That cry of faith begins to go forth. Oh, yes, some prayer, some fasting. Oh, time on those knees. Oh, yes. But there's a price. We want the Lord to work. We want to see faith growing. Oh, yes, we want to see the Word of God prevailing in lives and people being truly born again. Yes, there's a price. But what else do we want? You know, don't we want to see the Lord work? What else is there in life? What else, you know, everything else is going to be burned up in this world. Is there anything that's worth hanging on to? Because, you know, maybe it's worth, you know, $1,000 or, you know, $500, $10. You know, the things that people sometimes are attached to. But I'll tell you what. The Lord begins to work in our lives, and all at once we clean our lives up, and, you know, we get rid of, you know, things that, cause great hindrance, that grieve the heart of God. Oh, boy. Tell you what. God begins to move, just as He did here in that 19th chapter of Acts. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Oh, yes, there's sacrifices. Yeah, they came. Many came. They believed. They came. And they confessed. And they showed their deeds. Oh, yes, even John the Baptist, he realized if, you know, they came to him, that they were truly repented, that there would be evidence of that. And so it is with us too. God is the same. When our lives are really turned over to God, the whole way we think, and the way we dress, the way we approach people, the way we spend our time, it all begins to change in us when we truly come to the Lord. And that is a new creature in Christ. Yeah, it becomes evident. Those old things pass away, and all things become new. Because the heart has emptied out the things of self, the things that would destroy us, the things that would hinder us, things that are connected to the occult world, anything like that at all. Oh, addictions, things that hinder people so greatly. Oh, I thank God that He takes our lives. There's true repentance, and He begins to change us. And oh, we don't need those drugs anymore. We don't need that nicotine anymore. We don't need that booze anymore, you know. We don't need those things, because God has given us a peace that passes all understanding. We can rest in Him and know that our lives are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. That's faith in action when He begins to work in a people and lives begin to change. I just think it is so important how people, when they really get desperate. I know sometimes it seems like people don't readily receive the Holy Ghost. And I know Brother Coot, missionary to Japan, and there's one thing he realized after a season there, and he was working with the people, and he was just a businessman initially when he came to Japan, and God began to work on him and show him things. He was with another missionary family, but he was just, you know, a young man trying to, you know, seek employment. He had a good job and was doing this and that in Japan, but God began to get a hold of his heart and show him things little by little, this and that, and he began to realize, oh, this has got to go, that has got to go, and oh, it was, you know, thing after thing. God worked in him mightily, to show him things, and eventually he got to that place where he could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't, you know, popularly done. People weren't, this is the earlier part of the 20th century, and you know, the gift of the Holy Ghost wasn't just all that manifested at that time, and you know, some people just thought you just received it when, you know, you repented or when you received communion or whatever all, but he studied the Word of God. He could see no other way than to receive it when you would speak with other tongues, as they did in the book of Acts. And God began to work on him. And, you know, he didn't receive it instantly, but oh, it grew in him. He'd go into the hills every day to seek for the gift of the Holy Ghost. He and two other men were with him, and quite often anyway, and they would seek it day after day after day. Finally, that day came when the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he writes in his book that he spoke in tongues for two or three hours. And it was, you know, I believe he figured three different languages from one to the next. And when the people that knew him saw him, they could see it on his face. His countenance was changed. You know, God had come into his life in a new and living way. And oh, what a work he did there in Japan. I'll tell you what, he was a man that lived by faith. He passed out thousands of tracts on a daily basis. You know, he put all his work into the work of God, you know, and he lived by faith. There was no big, you know, denomination that was supporting him or anything. He was just relying on God. and the word of faith and how God used him. It's a mighty thing. But he came to realize, as his ministry continued, that when people really repented, when they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they came up out of the water speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. And Jesus said, oh boy, he said it so clearly in Luke, the 11th chapter. Just go there a minute here. Just a wee bit of time now. Luke 11, verse 9, Jesus said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Very positive, isn't it? But there's steps here. Yes, there's an asking. There's a seeking. There's a knocking. Yes, the Lord's looking for faith, and he's looking for, you know, some signs that we have faith. And yeah, you might have asked already 20 times, but you better keep on asking. You know, you might be seeking. He's looking for faith. He's looking, you know, for that persistent spirit that doesn't give up, that doesn't get discouraged and run away. Now that knocking, Lord, let me in. But it comes forth. God sees that faith just as he honored the faith when he walked this earth. And I say unto you, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And then he said, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oh, praise the Lord. There's a certain determination. Oh, there's a certain striving. I'm going to, be like Jacob. I'm going to seek until I find. I'm going to knock until that door is opened unto me. But our God is faithful. He promised. He says, you know, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask him? Did you ask him yet? Did you ask him? Did you believe him? Are you seeking? Are you knocking at that door? Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so faithful. Amen. Indeed, of course, on the day of Pentecost, Peter, so anointed by the Holy Ghost, he just received the Holy Ghost himself. Oh, that Spirit of the living God, that Comforter that Jesus Christ had promised. And of course, there speaking, anointed by the Spirit of God. Oh, yes, as he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he said, for this promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord. He's the same. That promise that he made, oh yes, back then when he was yet with his people on earth, is still the same for us, that yet remain as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a cry of faith that goes out. Oh, that cry that he puts within us, that faith that he puts within us, so we cry out to the living God for the things that we have need of. He knows those things that we have need of before we even ask Him. And He's faithful. He doesn't want us to be sick and bound and hindered. And, you know, He wants us to have the gift of the Holy Ghost. He wants us to receive His precious promises. And He's not a respecter of persons. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, that gift of the Holy Ghost is for us, whether we be a Jew or a Gentile, whether we be bond or free, whether we be male or female. Oh, praise the Lord. There's no respect of persons with God. Oh, praise the Lord. That same Jesus says, that cry of faith goes out. Our God hears it and He honors it. He fulfills it. Oh, if we could just cry out and realize the little grain of mustard seed. Oh, yes, faith is a little child. Oh, yes, the Lord will honor that, that persistency. But as Jesus Himself asked, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? Oh, I pray that God will put faith in our hearts. I've been praying for faith more than I ever have before, I believe. You know, that God would put faith in us so that we can believe, that those signs and wonders can follow us that believe. Oh, yes, that we would, get to that place where we're barren and unfruitful, but the Lord would be mighty in us, and those signs and wonders would follow the church of the living God. That God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So thank you, God. Oh, your promises are sure. We can only believe you, Lord. Your promises are sure, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you give us faith. Oh God, that you give us that faith as a grain of a mustard seed. And help us, Lord, to believe you, Jesus. So we cry out, I pray that you'd help us to believe you in Jesus' name, Lord, that we might receive the things that we have need of. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, if we could just cry out to God, He's going to hear. He's going to answer. Oh, He's no respecter of persons. He's here tonight. The same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee. Oh, yes, along Gennesaret and how they believed. We can do the same. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to go to number 105 in the chorus book tonight. Only Believe, number 105. Thank you. time to pray.